Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week's program is Program 5 in the ongoing Ukrainian crisis. Program number 204 was about wars and rumors of wars, the spiritual lessons that God has for us in all of these earthly battles. Program number 205 was about how foolish foreign policy was usually the occasion for all of the wars in ancient Israel. Program number 206 was about the fossil fuel component of this war, how the political left is in a war against oil. Last week's program, 207, was about the possibility of this war escalating into World War III. So, as I said at the beginning of this conflict, this is a big story, and there are going to be many programs addressing the various issues. Just like in the COVID crisis, there were so many different angles. I probably did at least 40 programs about COVID, and there's likely more to come. The issue I want to discuss today is the war in Ukraine and conspiracy theories. Some conservatives, even in Christian circles, are talking about how corrupt Ukraine is, how the globalists and the leftists and people like George Soros are supporting Ukraine over Russia. And this causes some conservatives to suspect that maybe Russia is right and Ukraine is wrong. Anything that George Soros is for, maybe we should be against. And you can tell a man by his friends and his enemies. You know, I addressed this issue a few weeks ago in that what we're seeing is that our federal government has become so corrupt and so dishonest that good people are no longer believing in our government, no longer supporting our government, at least to the same degree as in the past. If we ever had a major war, I doubt that there's going to be the same kind of public support like there was in World War II or even in the Gulf War. Since our government is promoting transgenderism, LGBTQ, homosexuality, gay marriage, abortion, socialism, who wants to support the administration of Ahab and Jezebel? Good people don't want to sacrifice or lay down their lives for evil. And when a country becomes ungodly, it puts itself in a very bad place. Its own citizenship wants to see the government collapse. This is eventually what happened in ancient Rome and among the Christians. They said good riddance to the Roman Empire. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 9, what is to die, let it die. Well, we're not there yet, but there is an anti-government sentiment starting to arise in our own country. And I think this partially explains why there are some pro-Russian opinions in conservative social media. So the conspiracy theory is this. The West, NATO and the United States, want to create a great reset, a new world order, a globalist union. Just look at all the globalist statements coming out of the World Economic Forum and the UN. In this conspiracy theory, all of these Western leaders are considered plants or disciples of the WEF. And the narrative is that Russia doesn't want to play along with the globalism of the West. Russia is fighting back, even fighting back against the bioweapons created by the United States. And this is why the West is ganging up upon Russia. Putin doesn't want to be part of the evil world organization, you know, like not wanting to join Spectre in some Bond movie. And if you listen to Klaus Schwab, head of the WEF, he sounds like an evil villain in an Austin Powers movie. The story goes that if the West beats Russia in this battle for Ukraine, this will empower all of the players behind this new world order. Here's an article from Business Insider. A model for civilization, Putin's Russia has emerged as a beacon for nationalists and the American alt-right. Russian President Vladimir Putin has emerged as a hero of several prominent alt-right figures, raising new questions about the Kremlin's influence on the far right. The white nationalist movement that has asserted itself as a new force in American politics. But the extent to which the alt-right has found a natural ally in Russia's current zeitgeist, which perceives the U.S. as a globalist, imperialist power working on behalf of liberal elites, is hard to overstate. Self-described white nationalist Matthew Heimbach, who said he identified as a member of the alt-right, has praised Putin as the axis for nationalists. Quote, "I really believe that Russia is the leader of the free world right now," Heimbach told Business Insider in a recent interview. "Putin is supporting nationalists around the world and building an anti-globalist alliance while promoting traditional values and self-determination." Heimbach describes the U.S. current foreign policy as aggressive and imperialistic, and he criticizes NATO's military buildup in Eastern Europe as an example of how the U.S. is trying to promote a global conflict with Russia. So that's from Business Insider. Here's another example of the alt-right supporting Putin. Nick Fuentes, he's one who can actually be labeled a white supremacist. Here's that video.
"We continue to support Tsar Putin in the war effort. Can we get an 07 in chat? We want to just keep in mind, we want to keep our brave soldiers in the white, blue, and red in our prayers and in our thoughts as they continue to liberate Ukraine from the great Satan and from the evil empire in the world, which is the United States. So, of course, our thoughts and prayers, our hearts go out to you, the pride of the Tsar, the pride of Moscow. We continue to root for them as they liberate Ukraine."
So let's remember that the title alt-right means what it is. It's an alternative to the conservative right. And the scale is not linear. It's circular. If you go far enough to the right, you wind up being on the left. Now, what furthers this conspiracy theory, this support for Russia, is that the people on the political left are criticizing any support for Putin. And so consider the source. If the left is against you, maybe you're onto a truth. Here's an article from The Atlantic. "Russia is co-opting angry young men, fight clubs, neo-Nazi soccer hooligans, and motorcycle gangs serve as conduits for the Kremlin's influence operations in Western countries," unquote. Oh, by the way, the support for Russia is the letter Z. Nobody knows why, but that's what it is. And Zelensky is asking the world to censor and criminalize the use of the letter Z in support for Russia. And Germany has actually done so. The Washington Post wants Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to censor support for Russia, like they censored President Trump, and they censored the questioning of the election and the questioning of COVID policy. And this from Rolling Stone magazine: "Ukraine's a false flag. No, it's the end of the deep state. Nutters can't decide. Dangerous misinformation is flying around the internet, and conspiracy theories are running the gamut." Quote, "While some subscribe to the belief that the war is a possible false flag operation, others think Vladimir Putin is attacking Ukraine to destroy the deep state, a secret part of government they believe is on a mission to undermine Trump. To be clear, neither of these are accurate. Putin has long believed Ukraine, the democratic nation, should be under Russia's control, a belief which has led to a very real military invasion that has resulted in the thousands of deaths over the past weeks. But in a polarized world, distrustful of actual reported facts, misinformation has spread rapidly." Well, if Rolling Stone magazine is saying that the pro-Putin narrative is nuts, maybe the narrative is right. Or maybe Rolling Stone gets this one right. I mean, even a broken clock is right twice a day. And even a blind squirrel can find a nut every once in a while. Now, the opposing view to Russian support is that Putin is evil. He's a totalitarian dictator with imperialistic goals. And even though Western nations are becoming morally corrupt, they still believe in some national sovereignty and in democratic governments. Sure, Putin is against Western globalism because he wants to have his own Russia-China form of totalitarian globalism. For example, Jack Barsky, a Russian spy who defected a number of years ago, was interviewed on Fox. And Barsky points out that the Obama administration was naive in thinking it could play nice with Putin. Quote, America has not paid enough attention to what Putin has been planning for a long time. He wants to establish Greater Russia the way it once started, and he has been pretty open about it. He has stated publicly that he doesn't consider Ukraine a sovereign nation, and Ukraine and Russia should be united. But of course, if you're into conspiracy theories, you'll think that Jack Barsky is working for the deep state, and he's a globalist, giving out the anti-Putin narrative. Here's another example. In the periodical The American Thinker, there was a battle between two writers, Dan Truitt and Jacob Fraden. Truitt wrote an article supporting Putin, that Putin was just defending his country against NATO incursion, that Putin is just putting Russia first, looking out after his own people. Quote, Ukraine belonged to Russia for centuries. The two countries have almost identical cultures and language. Kyiv used to be the capital of Russia. Putin's war is a war of defense. Russia, rightly in my view, feels threatened by NATO expansion. Russia is mainly land-based, a continental power that desires a buffer with the West. Ukraine serves that purpose perfectly. It was the United States that triggered a coup in Ukraine in 2014, overthrowing the democratically elected president, who was Russian-friendly, and the U.S. installed a pro-Western, pro-NATO leader. Putin has no intention of reconstituting the Soviet Union. That's a big fat lie. This war is the West's fault, not Putin's. At any time, we could have discussed these issues with him instead of seeking closer ties with Russia, as Trump was attempting. Trump even talked about disbanding NATO since Russia is no longer a territorial threat to Europe. We constantly antagonize Russia with our NATO expansion. What we should be doing is assuring Russia that we're not a threat, making treaties with Russia, bringing us into closer ties with Russia. After all, they are a European Orthodox Christian nation, and we should turn our united efforts against the real threat, China. We couldn't have mishandled this more. So Jacob Fraden responds to Dan Truitt's article, quote, I couldn't believe my eyes when I read in The American Thinker the recent article by Dan Truitt on the Russian invasion in Ukraine. Almost word by word, it repeats the Russian propaganda that's being fed by the Ministry of Truth in Moscow. Then Truitt goes on to explain, Putin is not a genius. He has destroyed every single industry in his nation except oil and gas, and he sells it abroad to get hard currency to line the pockets of his cronies. This war is not the fault of the West. Putin does want to rebuild the Soviet Union. And Putin has been saying this for a number of years. This is why he invaded Crimea and Georgia and set up puppet governments there. And he was going to do the same thing in Ukraine until the West came in to help out a people who did not want to be part of Russia. And NATO has always been a defensive organization. They do not have any aspirations to take over Russia. And Russia does not need a buffer against NATO nations. And to add my own thoughts here, of course, Putin feels threatened by NATO's invasion because Putin wants to rebuild a totalitarian empire. And the reason the Ukrainian people want to be free from Russia is because they don't want the poverty and the totalitarianism of Russian leadership. Remember, Russia starved to death 4 million Ukrainians in the 1930s. They know what it's like to be under Russia in that communistic totalitarianism that's still there in Russia. And Ukrainians are not Russians. They speak a different language. If Russia wants nations to join them, then Russia should work on making their own nation great and making Russia a desirable nation for other nations to identify with. But like most dictators, they have to get other nations to join them by force. Well, then Truitt goes on to give all sorts of examples of Russia's aggression toward its neighbors, Finland, Sweden, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. And if it weren't for NATO, Russia would have already invaded these countries, claiming they belong to Russia. So then Fraden concludes, it appears that Dan Truitt either works for the Russian propaganda machine or is not watching TV or reading the news. We see in Ukraine a true patriotic war. When able-bodied men are sending their wives and children to hide in Poland and other countries and go themselves into the bloody fight to drive these invaders from their soil. It is a true heroic resistance now going on in Ukraine. Is the bombardment of residential buildings, hospitals, schools, and maternity wards, and the shooting at clearly marked press vehicles just collateral damage? For such collateral damage, many war criminals were hanged at Nuremberg in 1946. So that was kind of lengthy, but I had to share it to give you a sense of the pro-Putin versus pro-Zelensky debate. So who's right? Who can we trust? You know, this is where we need a deep understanding of biblical morality to help us from being swayed by every news article and pundit. We can assess the situation by holding to some very basic biblical mandates. First, the Genesis chapter 11 principle, that God has established national boundaries, that God has divided up the nations according to their languages, and it's wrong for one people group to steal the land from another people group. It's unlawful to monopolize territory. Be content with what you have. Isaiah chapter 5, woe to him who adds land to land. And it just so happens that Russia has the largest landmass of all nations. And they haven't even developed their own country, and yet they're stealing land from others. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15, the leech has two daughters. Give, give. There are three things that will not be satisfied, four that will not say enough. You say, well, didn't the United States steal land in the Mexican War? Well, that could be debated, but we do know two wrongs don't make a right. Well, the second overriding value that helps us discern the war in Ukraine is that we know that the killing of innocent lives is evil. Joel chapter 3, verse 19, Egypt will become a waste, and Edom will become a desolate wilderness because of the violence done to the sons of Judah, in whose land they have shed innocent blood. Psalm chapter 9, verse 12, for he who requires blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Whenever we see the shedding of innocent blood, that is surely the devil's fingerprints. Now the West, NATO nations are far from perfect, but this could be an evil fighting evil situation. And God can be using this war to punish the West and Ukraine, because Ukraine has been a corrupt nation. Zelensky panders to the left. Throughout the Obama administration, the U.S. poured money into the Ukraine, and it looks like there were kickbacks to American politicians. The Biden family might just be the beginning of this. But still, the West can be right in standing up against the transgressions of national boundaries and the taking of innocent life. So it's by these biblical values we can discern which voices are right and which voices are wrong. Those who don't have their feet firmly planted in biblical values are easily led astray by other arguments. You know, these claims that Putin is a freedom fighter, you know, liberating the Ukrainians from neo-Nazis. Just remember that evil will always portray itself as being good. Even Adolf Hitler roped in conservative Lutherans because Hitler was for nationalism. And nationalism is a good thing. Hitler was anti-communist. And Hitler also claimed to be against the sexual perversions and the deviant art that was arising amongst the German elites. And that's what the book burnings in Germany were all about. As explained in this book, Gay Berlin in the 1930s. Hitler was for a handful of good things, but he also promoted great evil. Remember, the devil will play both sides. And he will mix some truth in every lie. So expect the same in our day with Putin, with the coming Antichrist, even with our own politicians. Don't be deceived by those who adopt some conservative values. But regardless of all this, what we do know is that a leader or a movement shows itself to be evil when it invades other people's territory and when it takes innocent lives. A side note here, why do Christians even have to have an opinion on this war in Ukraine? I mean, it's not as if the Secretary of State is going to be calling you for your opinion. Well, the fact is, in a democracy, we are the Secretary of State. If we were in some sort of totalitarian state, we would not be responsible. But since we live in a democracy, we are the government. And we will be voting for our political representatives in the next election. They are our employees, and we must explain to them the right position. Furthermore, I believe that God would have his people know these things because we're being prepared to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, he who is spiritual appraises all things. Philippians 1, 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. And in Ezekiel chapter 8, God has the prophet Ezekiel in a vision dig through the wall of the temple to discover what's really going on behind the scenes. And so God's people would not be naive as to the evil being done behind closed doors. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 9, he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations they are committing here. And that's what today's program is all about. We can grow in our knowledge and discernment as we see the things happening in this world. The world is God's classroom, by which God trains us to discern both good and evil. Now, rather than discussing more about the Ukrainian-Russian conspiracy theory, I want to address conspiracy theories in general. Because this whole pro-Putin narrative sees what's happening in Ukraine as just another part of the plotting of the World Economic Forum. Conspiracy diehards think that you and I don't know anything about the Trilateral Commission, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, the history of the Federal Reserve, the Bilderberg Group, the Rockefellers, the World Economic Forum. And when these conspiracy theorists learn about these things for the first time, they believe they've gained some insider information about how the world really works, that is being controlled by a cabal of bankers and politicians. And when many Christians for the first time read about these groups and events, they believe they have tapped into some secret information. That all the wars have been planned and engineered by bankers and world leaders. And many websites and articles interpret the world this way, like the John Birch Society. And it's easy to fall for these conspiracy interpretations because they sound very convincing. Because there are people in this world with globalist agendas. And they make statements revealing their plans. But there's another side of the story. And of course, these conspiracy sites and articles never tell you the other side of the story. For example, these conspiracy theorists will tell you that COVID-19 was deliberately spread through the world to create a crisis so world leaders can use emergency authority and assume more power. It was a planned endemic, not a pandemic. And if you look at the facts, you know, leaders in the World Economic Forum were speaking about being ready for a coming coronavirus a year before it broke out. So it sure looks like this virus was literally engineered by Big Pharma and CDC biolabs. But how is the Wuhan lab and the Chinese Communist Party involved? Did Klaus Schwab actually plan this? Or did he simply use it to his advantage after some greedy, self-serving scientist brought it about? Did the coronavirus actually pan out as they planned? Because the pandemic has resulted in the same thing that happened after the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. People now trust authorities less. And if these world economic leaders were so smart, they would have known the history. They would have known that a pandemic would actually undermine their authority and their plans. But maybe God allowed them to make this mistake, because look how much the true church has grown suspicious of government, preparing us for the end times. Well, my point is that if this was a planned demic, it was a bad plan for them. Conspiracy theorists also say that a secret cabal of world leaders infiltrated the 2020 election to get rid of Trump because Trump was not playing along with their globalist agenda. Trump wanted to make America great, and these world leaders wanted to disempower America, so they put in Joe Biden. And look at all that Biden has done to destroy this country. More deficit spending, inflation, destroying the stability of the American dollar as a world currency, shutting down the oil industry, deliberately letting illegals come into our country to undermine our national sovereignty. China and Putin probably love this guy. And Biden's policies are so insane, it sure does look like a plan. But if it's a plan, it's a stupid plan. Because Biden is such a failure, there's probably going to be a conservative wave in the next election. And that's going to torpedo the left's agenda for years. Is Biden a disciple of the WEF? You see, one does not need to be a disciple of the WEF to hold to leftist policies. Just plain greed and immorality is all that it takes to cause politicians to line up with the WEF agenda. This belief in open borders, globalism, climate change, socialism exists apart from the WEF. It preceded the WEF. If the WEF never existed, these leftist values would still be in the world. The WEF is really a reflection of the agenda that's already in the world. It's already the spirit of this age. I mean, what did we expect would happen before the day of the Lord? Half of America is onto the agenda of the WEF. That's why the WEF exists in the first place. It's not that Klaus Schwab is causing these things to happen. He is riding the wave that's already there. A wave that's not created by the WEF, but one that's created by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. Revelation chapter 16. It's the demons, the unclean spirits, that gather the kings together for war. Revelation chapter 12. Woe to the earth, for the devil has come down to you, knowing that his time is short. The visible is being controlled by the invisible. the spiritual world. And this is where the great conspiracy lies. These human actors are mere useful idiots. They couldn't work out a successful plan even if they wanted to. These conspiracy theorists are not all wrong. There are some evil people in this world with a godless agenda. But the basic argument I have with conspiracy theorists is that they give way too much power to man. They mistake cause and effect. These theorists actually believe that there is a group of insiders that have the power to start wars, to change economies, to depose presidents. They may try, but they don't have all of the power that they claim or the power that people attribute to them. At the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos, everyone on the conspiracy theory right is alarmed by Schwab's lackey, Professor Yuval Harari. And he is claiming that man will soon be integrated with machines, that we will re-engineer man with our intelligent design, that this is the next stage in evolution, and that man will someday have godlike powers. Well, of course, in the near future, governments are going to want to chip people with their personal and financial information. But most of what Harari is claiming is just a lot of hot air. It's wishful thinking. It's the wishful thinking of the secular ungodly mind. These people are even claiming that in a few years, scientists will find the cure to old age because they believe science is their savior. Here's an article. Billionaires are betting on anti-aging research, but can aging really be cured? Amazon founder Jeff Bezos has reportedly invested in Altos Labs, a new anti-aging startup that hopes to prolong human life. Well, then there's this study that came out, an article from The Hill. New study says humans cannot slow the process of aging. The $110 billion anti-aging industry may be a lost cause. Well, the reality is that these people, even though they talk about what they want to accomplish, it's not possible, and it always backfires on them. You know, they can't evolve themselves into gods. They can't start or end the wars that they want. They can't control the economy as much as they think. And they have no control over these viruses, even if they themselves release these viruses and try to use them. This is simply what we read in the Bible about the vain boasting of the wicked. Psalm chapter 10. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised, for the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. Even when God allows the Antichrist to arise and this alliance of 10 nations, the book of the Revelation describes the whole thing as their own big train wreck. It doesn't work out like they hope. I've said this a million times in my programs that in the end, the ungodly will be shooting at the righteous out their front door while their own disasters and problems will be coming in the back door. I just watched Michelle Bachmann's Globalism Rising Conference at Regent University. And one of the speakers, Dr. Michael Rechtenwald, made my point. And I'm always glad for people who agree with me, or at least agree with the Bible. After Rechtenwald, you know, talked about the plans of these World Economic Forum globalists, he concluded by saying their plans will not work. They are unsustainable. They are doomed to fail. Like all totalitarian governments, they fail. They crash economies because socialism doesn't work. It will leave a path of destruction, but it's doomed to fail. So we have to understand these conspiracy theories, or rather, the agenda of these ungodly people, in the light of God's sovereignty. Psalm chapter 75. I said to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. The horn means your power. Do not lift up your power. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. For the cup is in the hand of the Lord. The wine foams, it's well mixed, and he pours out of this. Surely all of the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down its dregs. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 9. Be broken, O people, and be shattered, and give ear, all remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. The concept of girding yourself means to prepare to do what you plan to do. Spend your money, get your people, compile your resources, but it'll all be shattered. Because the wicked toil for fire. It's a waste of their time and effort. Job chapter 5, verse 12. He frustrates the plotting of the shrewd, so their hands cannot attain to success. Psalm 33:10. The Lord nullifies the counsel of nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30. There is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37. Who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Psalm 64, 6. They devise injustice, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot. For the inward thoughts and the heart of man are deep, but God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they will be wounded, so they will be made to stumble. Their own tongue is against them. All who see them will shake the head. Then all men will fear, and they will declare the works of God and will consider what he has done. The righteous man will be glad in the Lord and take refuge in him, and all the upright in heart will glory. So Christians of all people should understand the limited power of man, man's limited power to engineer world events. Try as they may, it's really outside of their control. Just because business leaders and politicians make their speeches and lay their plans and have their meetings, it doesn't mean they actually control the world. That's a mistake that these conspiracy theorists make. If anything, these people are reacting to what has already happened, and they're boasting vainly about what they're planning to do. But Psalm chapter 2, God laughs at these people. And we should be laughing also. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned. We should be telling people what these globalists are planning to do as an example of what evil people do. But we should not speak as if we fear them. Our message that we should be communicating to the media and on social media is about how powerless these people are. How their agenda will not work. Here's an interesting article. The Last Party in Davos, 2019, by Richard Fernandez. Quote, they converge from all over the world onto a little town in Switzerland. Names like Sir David Attenborough, Shinzo Abe, Angela Merkel, Prince William, and Jacinda Ardern gather in the Swiss town of Davos for the World Economic Forum annual meeting 2019. Making up the supporting cast were 3,000 mere millionaires and celebrities from business, government, civil society, academia, arts, culture, and the media. On the agenda was literally the roadmap for the future of the world. More formally, the theme was Globalization 4.0. Shaping a global architecture in an age of the fourth industrial revolution. And what a plan it was. There was a scheme for global data governance and antimicrobial resistance and to put an end to global warming. Who could have predicted that 3 years later, the president of Afghanistan would have been driven out of the country by the Taliban. The global COVID pandemic would have displaced concerns over antimicrobial resistance. President Joe Biden would be begging Saudi Arabia and Venezuela for oil. Europe would be reviving nuclear power and coal. There would be worries over famine in the Middle East. And NATO would be on the brink of war with Russia invading Ukraine. And the in-person 2021 Davos meeting itself would be canceled due to the COVID pandemic. Events are now developing too rapidly for the explainers to cope. And then Richard Fernandez continues to explain how all of their plans have collapsed. But conspiracy theorists would say, oh, no, no. These events were not turnbacks. These events were actually planned. Well, that's not the worldview I get from Scripture. These leaders may try to pull strings, but God is pulling their strings. Nahum chapter 1, verse 9, whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Well, that's the Bible lesson for this week. I hope you go away with better biblical insight as to how to view the events in this world, because too often they're viewed from a faithless point of view, even among conservatives. So I wanted to get into all of the giddy optimism of the NATO meeting last week and their false hopes for the peace treaty with Russia, but I'm going to leave that to next week because I need to talk about something next week. Until then, stand firm in the faith, stand in the truth. In fact, I put together some new magnetic business cards for the channel. And my headline verse for this time is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, that you may stand firm. And isn't that what this channel is all about? Helping believers to stand firm and to not be deceived by the spirit of this age. May Jesus Christ reign.